The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit upon his throne, and all the nations will be assembled before him. And he will separate them one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will place the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. A stranger, and you welcomed me. Naked, and you clothed me. Ill, and you cared for me. In prison, and you visited me.' Then the righteous will say and answer him, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you a drink? When did we see you as a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you ill or in prison and visit you?' And the king will say to them in reply, 'Amen, I say to you, whatever you did for one of the least brothers of mine, you did for me.' Then he will say to those on his left, 'Depart from me, you accursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. A stranger, and you gave me no welcome. Naked, and you gave me no clothing. Ill and in prison, and you did not care for me.' Then they will answer and say, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or ill or in prison and not minister to your needs?' You will answer them, 'Amen, I say to you, what you did not do for one of the least ones, you did not do for me.' And these will go off to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life." The Gospel of the Lord. May the words of the Gospel bless the way our souls. Good evening.
Good evening.
Nice to be at 5 o'clock Mass for a change. Every Sunday, every weekend, we proclaim in our creed that we believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God. We also believe that he became flesh as the promised Messiah and acknowledge him as Savior of the world. We do that every Sunday. Isn't it strange that he was treated so badly by the people of his day? He was ignored, insulted, feared, hated, and finally crucified. How could such a thing be possible, that God incarnate should be regarded as a social outcast and executed like a common criminal? How can that be? Well, the only reasonable explanation that I can come up with is they did not recognize him. The gospel reading, which I just read, indicates that this problem of recognition has followed Jesus from the very beginning and will follow him to the end of time. It pictures the day of judgment, with Christ the King seated upon his royal throne and the entire nations of the earth gathered before him. He divides the people into two groups, placing some on his right and some on his left. The basis of the separation was how they had responded to him in his time of need. Those who had come to his aid, he commended. Those who had failed to help him, he condemned. But, interestingly, both groups were equally surprised. Neither one could remember ever having seen Christ in need. It's the same old problem, the failure to recognize his true identity. If the people of the first century Palestine had known who he really was, they would have no doubt treated him differently. On the cross, he prayed, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing." That was more than just a high-minded gesture. It was a statement of truth. The people did not know what they were doing. They didn't. In their minds, they were executing a common criminal. They're getting rid of a dangerous man. But in fact, they were crucifying the Christ of God. If they had realized who he was, surely they would not have done that. But how were they to know, since he seemed so ordinary? He was born of a woman, grew up and went to school like other children. He entered a family business and worked as a village carpenter until about age 30. He entered the family business and then he became an itinerant teacher. How were they to know who he was? From somewhere in the past, I read a story about a king who decided to go incognito. He disguised himself, put on the clothing of a peasant, and went to live among his people. He became one of them. It was a revealing experience. He observed people in the act of being themselves. He learned what they were like when the king was not around. He saw how they treated one another. He experienced their attitudes and actions toward him as a common peasant. In a very real sense, that is what Jesus did. He was the incognito Christ. The fourth gospel says, "He was in the world, and through him the world was created. Yet the world did not know who he was." That was the nature of his presence on earth for a little more than 30 years. And it continues to be the nature of his presence even up till today. He's in the world with his true identity often concealed. He is a master of disguise, hidden in plain sight. Sometimes he appears as a little child with all the symptoms of malnutrition. At other times, he appears as kind of an old man in a wheelchair, lonely and sitting in the hallway of a nursing home. I've seen him in a young handicapped girl named Joanne Rikiki, and I've seen him in people who have had dementia and were homeless. The fact is, Jesus Christ is a man of infinite number of disguises. He wears the face of every sick, every hungry, every hurting, and helpless person on earth. Some of you might be familiar with one of my radio programs called Make Straight the Way. It features interviews with Catholics who are making a difference in Oklahoma. One of the guests on the program recently was a young lady by the name of April Heipel. She's a Catholic convert and grew up in a poor family. Her father had abandoned the family when she was just a young girl. The father had mental problems and had an addiction to alcohol, and he was on the streets, homeless. As life went on for April, she was working in downtown Oklahoma City, and she would make the drive, the commute up there every day on her way to work. And she noticed many of the homeless people, but was always trying to avoid even looking at them. And then one day, she had what I would call a spiritual moment. While waiting at the stoplight at Reno and Western, she happened to look up and spotted a man who looked just like her father. He was clutching a bag and holding all his belongings and was laying on a bench. She stared a little bit at him, and she thought, well, even if that's not him, he's somebody's father. He's somebody's baby who was born with a potential that didn't include sleeping in a dumpster. It was in that moment that she saw Christ, In that moment, she decided to commit her life to helping the poor and the homeless. And today, she is the executive director of Food and Shelter for Friends. You know, one of the things that makes me particularly proud to be a member of this parish is the generosity shown to the poor and the sick. And there was a time before this pandemic that someone from St. Joseph's Parish here would visit the sick at Norman Regional Hospital every day, bringing them prayer and the Holy Eucharist faithfully each and every day. Many years ago, I had the privilege of accompanying one of those ministers to the hospital. Her name was Mary Schauberger. We were visiting a young man in ICU who was in very serious condition. He was in head and body restraints because he'd been in a motorcycle accident, and they had to hold him immobile. He crushed many of the bones in his body, and his face was covered with gashes and cuts. In this motorcycle accident that he was in, a car broadsided him, and it affected also his spinal cord. The doctor said that if he lived through this, he would probably never walk again. His name was Tom. He had just started as a freshman over here at OU, and his mother had flown in from San Diego to be by his side. Tom received communion that day, and we prayed with them and invited his mother to come to St. Joseph for Mass. And then, just before we left, the name Jacob Rice popped into my head. I told Tom about Jacob and his story, how he too had been in a motorcycle accident. Jacob had run into a house, a brick house, how the doctors told him that he'd never play football again, and how his faith in God and his belief in himself brought him back and proved them wrong. How the very next season, Jacob was miraculously playing for Norman High again and playing well. And then as he entered college as a walk-on freshman, he went to the coaches and asked them to allow him to become deep snapper for the Sooners, which he did for his whole time at OU. Tom, I said, keep your eye on number 68, Jacob Rice. I hope you'll get to meet him someday. He's living proof that you can make it. When Jacob heard about Tom in the hospital, he did something very special. Difficult as it was being an underclassman, at the Texas OU game, Jacob boldly approached his upperclass teammates in the locker room. It was an emotional scene when he told them about Tom and his depressed and dire situation. And so they all eagerly autographed a football, which would be given to him. When Tom Wales received that football from Fred Rice at Jim Thorpe Rehab, he was filled with thankful emotion and tears. He realized how much people cared. And Jacob Rice, in encouraging Tom, was recognizing Christ the King. Sadly, Tom Wales did pass away. However, someone might wonder someday how an OU football got into heaven. I was sick and you comforted me, Jesus said. Jesus was so sensitive to the needs of other people that their problems became his problems. Whatever happened to them also happened to him. That experience is not as strange as you and me might think. Our lives are not limited to just the little area of space we occupy at any given moment. No, our hearts are in other places because we live in and through the lives of other people. Picture a father and mother whose daughter or son becomes part of the drug culture and is living homeless on the streets. Those parents may have the warmest, nicest home in town. That doesn't matter. A large part of them will be out on the streets. And anyone who helps their child will be helping them. They understand the words of Jesus. Whatever you did to the least of these, you did for me. Jesus feels that way about everyone. As long as there's one broken heart, one empty stomach, one shattered life, anywhere in the world, he will never be content. Today, this final Sunday of the church year, we celebrate him as Christ the King, for that he is. St. Paul said it in our second reading, Christ will reign until God has put all enemies under his feet. But he is not somewhere seated comfortably on a royal throne with a crown on his head and a staff in his hand. He's here with us each and every day. We may not always recognize him, but he is here. Whenever we encounter human need, we are standing in the midst and in the presence of the King. The choice is ours. We can either help him or neglect him. The real issue for us is that we look for him and that we recognize him.